I said, God, I do not understand this world. Everything is dying and broken. Will you not say anything else to me? He said, who shut in the ocean with stone? Things too wonderful for me, although I had no right to ask. My God knelt and answered me.
Well, today we're talking about how God is greater than our pain. I want to welcome all of our churches that are joining us. Thanks so much for being a part of this series. We've been hearing so many just positive comments, whether it be after services at all the churches, or those of you that comment on Facebook pages or emails at mystory@eastlakechurch.com and send in and just say, hey, here's what this series has been meaning to me, what God has been doing in my life, lots of great things. Today we're talking about how God is greater than our pain. And I think we all know that this world and this life is broken. I just received a reminder of that reality today when I got a text message from a dear family friend whose wife had an unexpected massive stroke and said, I'm not sure if she's going to make it. Would you pray? And just in the midst of a normal day, all of a sudden, everything changes. And my guess is if we all thought about moments like that, we would all have many. Where everything in life was just going, it was moving forward, everything felt fine, and then all of a sudden, something happened, and in a moment, everything changed, and it was a reminder that there is something broken, and there is something wrong with the world in which we live. I think we can all think of moments like that. Because the reality is that there is no corner of this world that is untouched by pain and suffering. Pain and suffering, it transcends all cultures and races and classes and communities, and no demographic gets out of pain and suffering. Well, how's that for a happy introduction? Well, there actually is some great news that I have for all of us today. And the great news is that God is not absent in our pain, that he is not distant or far away in our pain. In fact, Scripture reveals a God who, since the very beginning of time, has been working to bring creation and every part of creation, including humanity, back into right relationship with himself, where one day there will be no more pain, where Scripture says he will wipe away every tear from their eye. And God has been involved in that process. And God, until that day comes, wants to meet us right in the middle of our pain, and he wants to bring some hope, and he wants to bring some healing. Now, just to be sure that this topic today is applicable to all of us, by a show of hands at all of our churches, everybody participate, how many of you would say at least at one time in your life, some sort of pain, grief, hurt, or suffering impacted your life? Hold your hand up. All right, good. Talking to the right group today. That's great. If you didn't raise your hand, you're either bubble boy or you're just too cool or lazy to raise your hand. I'll let the people around you decide which one of those things you are. Now, when you read the Bible, few people face the difficulties and pains and subsequent hurt in their life than this guy in Scripture by the name of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote much of the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, which tells the story of the explosion of Christianity. And his story in and of itself is remarkable because Paul is someone that became the voice of the early church, of this Jesus way, this understanding that Jesus took the sin of everyone upon himself so that anyone and all can be reconnected back to God. Like, Paul was the guy that championed this message, but it was after he tried to put this message out. And so he had this amazing conversion. You can read about it in the book of Acts. Amazing stories. But because of his proclamation of this Jesus story, it caused him constant pain. He was arrested numerous times, beaten many times, imprisoned many times. It sounds like a day in the life of a Raider fan, doesn't it? In Acts chapters 25, 26, and 27, we find that Paul is a prisoner again because of this Jesus message. Now, I want to invite you to read this story. It's really a story that encompasses about four chapters. Acts 25, 26, 27, and 28 talks about how he is in prison because he was. They told him that, hey, you started this riot. And it was because these Jewish leaders were so angry of him proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. And he is put in prison in Acts chapter 25, you'll read, in a place called Caesarea. It's actually in Israel in the Mediterranean Sea. I've had the privilege to be there and visit this site. That's me in Caesarea. And to my left, where that group of people is gathered, right there is the actual prison where Paul was held until he was going to be sent to Rome. On that plaque that was there in that picture, it gives you the scriptures of, hey, this happened right here. And it was incredible to be there on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea and to read the scripture that we're going to read today, which talks about Paul being sent to Rome. And the reason he was going to be put on a ship from Caesarea and sent across the Mediterranean Sea is because in his trial, so to speak, by a guy who was called King Agrippa, who was really kind of the Roman figurehead in charge there in Caesarea, what happens is that Paul says, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't try me of this crime here. He's like, I appeal to Caesar. And he says, okay, you're going to have your day with Caesar. See how you like that. And if you know history, that Caesar was not too keen on this Jesus message either. But Paul knew that God had a plan. So he says, I appeal to Caesar. And he gets on this boat and they start heading for Rome. But this boat had to make lots of stops along the way. And one of these stops, they find themselves in this port city of Crete. And they're trying to make the decision whether or not they're going to sail because weather is starting to look bad. And everybody grab that outline out of your program. Look at Acts 27. We're going to spend the rest of our time looking at this chapter of the Bible and learning from it. Look at this story. It says, we had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there's trouble ahead if we go. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. And as you'll see as we keep reading this story, and I hope you'll read it on your own this week, they sailed right into a huge storm, which inevitably caused a shipwreck. And that's what this story is about. The story is about how their storm represents very real storms that hit our life that often end in shipwrecks. Now, most of us have probably never been in an actual shipwreck. I flipped over a kayak in the ocean before, but I'm not sure that's the same thing, okay? But I'm sure all of us have been in relational shipwrecks where we had a relationship that we thought was secure and solid, and all of a sudden something happened and it broke apart. Or we've been in an emotional shipwreck where our energy and our passion and our outlook on life was changed by a hurt or a pain or a grief or sometimes even a mental illness that came our way, and everything changed. I think all of us can relate to maybe times of financial shipwrecks or health shipwrecks, or maybe even we've watched people we love go through some shipwrecks in life. And this story about Paul and his actual shipwreck will help us learn, what do we do when we face these storms? How do we handle this? Well, number one, write this down. How do we find God to be greater than our pain? Here's the first thing. We have to find the reason. In other words, we have to ask, what caused this? How did I get here? If we don't ask these kinds of questions, we'll be the kind of person that wonders why difficult thing after difficult thing after difficult thing just keep happening to them. You can probably think of someone like this in your family, right? A cousin, a aunt, or an uncle, that they're just always, you know, it's like they never realize why this just keeps happening. And if, as I said that, you can't think of who that cousin, aunt, or uncle is, they're thinking of you right now. Sorry to be the one to tell you, but that's probably true. You see, there are people who just constantly live in this cycle, and they face the same pain over and over and over again, and they never figure out why, and they never learn from it. You see, when pain comes in our life, no matter what kind of pain it is, I promise you, it's always from one of these five causes. Let me give them to you, and I want you to write these down. Every pain you've ever experienced in your life has come from one of these five things: myself, others, life, Satan, God. Every pain we've experienced has come from one of those things: myself, others, life, Satan, God. Many of the difficulties in our life, we set up for ourselves and walk right into, don't we? Everybody grab that outline after you finish writing those and turn it over to the back and look at some recommended resources. I recommended some great books there that if this topic touches something in your life and you say, wow, I need to learn more. I need to be encouraged more. There's some great books there. One of those books written by two authors, Cloud and Townsend, is called How People Grow. And there's a great chapter in there about how pain is positive if it causes us to grow. And they draw this difference between good and bad pain. And they call good pain therapeutic pain. But pain only becomes good and therapeutic when it teaches us some lessons, when we grow from it. And so we need to understand, hey, how did this happen? What caused this? Otherwise, it's just wasted pain. Now, sometimes we cause pain, but the other thing I had you write there is others. Sometimes other people do incredibly evil, harmful things, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. And hurt from others, especially those that we trusted or loved, is some of the worst, hardest hurt to ever overcome in this life. Sometimes pain just comes from life. We live in a broken, fallen world. There are accidents. There is injustice. There is disease and sickness and death. Another cause of pain, a very real cause of pain, and maybe you're new to church and just checking this whole thing out, and the last couple you wrote down, you were like, oh, great, here we go. Satan was one I had you write down. Now, don't be like the church lady. Do you remember her? This classic Saturday Night Live skit where anything bad that happened, she would go, could it be Satan? That was my best church lady voice. It wasn't very good. But in other words, don't be the person that every time your car breaks down or your, you know, washing machine breaks down, you're like, that's it, Satan did it. No, he didn't. Okay, it's just old. It just breaks down. But Scripture does talk about a very real enemy of our soul who wants to destroy all that is good and everything that God has created. And he wants to destroy the crown jewel of God's creation, which is you, which is me, which is all of humanity. The last thing I had you write down there is God. Sometimes God allows pain and difficulty in our lives. And I understand this is one of those really hard truths. And just because it's a difficult truth, just because I don't like it, doesn't mean that it's not true. God sometimes allows problems to come into our lives to get our attention, to grow us, to test us, many different ways. And I know most TV preachers would lead you to believe otherwise. Most TV preachers, which this is why you should not watch Christian TV, they would lead you to believe that God's primary objective is to make you wealthy, healthy, and happy. That's God's primary motivation. The problem with that, well, and you got to send them $500. That's kind of the deal, okay? But the problem with that theology, that way of thinking about God, is that you have to cut out a whole lot of scriptures. You got to remove a whole lot of the Bible that reveals God allowed purposeful pain in people's life and that God has a purposeful plan in pain. God never wastes a hurt. He doesn't cause all of our hurts. But if we allow him, he will find a positive purpose in them. So we need to know, hey, where does this pain come from? Where did it come? And sometimes when pain is caused by ourselves, we need to realize how we got there. These next three points, let me give you some common mistakes that lead to pain. These are really all about painful situations and things that we put ourselves in. This is that therapeutic kind of pain, or it could be, if we learn these lessons. And we need to learn them so we don't end up there again. Here's common mistakes that lead to pain. Write this down. We follow bad advice. Let's get back to Paul's story. Remember, what did Paul say? He said, hey, we should not sail. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, loss of life. We should not go into the storm. But look at verse 11. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and owner than to Paul. God had already warned them through Paul. Paul was a guy that had a reputation. Now, when you first read that, you're like, well, of course. You know, they're not going to listen to just some dude on the ship. They're going to listen to the ship captain. But you have to understand who Paul was. Paul was a seasoned traveler. If you read his journeys where he went and started all these different churches and you track it, you realize that he logged in more than 3,500 miles on the Mediterranean Sea. He was a savvy traveler. You also would know that Paul had a reputation. This was not just some average prisoner. Everyone knew this was Paul, the guy who murdered Christians and now became one. The guy who Jewish people were mad at, but they couldn't deny that there was something amazing about him and the way he talked about God and the power that he talks about in this relationship with Jesus, because he had raised someone from the dead. So this was Paul. Everyone was like, whoa, this is that guy. And when that guy says we shouldn't go, you probably want to listen. But because the expert said, well, hey, let's go on ahead, they went on ahead anyway. There's a lot of experts in this world, aren't there? There are all sorts of people that want to tell you and tell me how we should live relationally, how we should live sexually, how we should handle our careers, how we should handle our families. And some of that advice can be very good, but here's what we need to remember. If God tells you to do something different than what an expert says, if God's word teaches something different, a different way to live than what the expert or popular culture says, listen to what God says. Why? Because it's always a better way. Jesus always invited people to walk on a different path, to live in this thing called the kingdom of God. And Jesus promised that it would lead to a better life now and a better life for eternity. And when you and I ignore the wisdom of God and we ignore the warnings of God, we are setting ourselves up for pain. Here's another common mistake. Write this down. Another reason I think sometimes we land in pain is we followed the crowd. How many times have you ended up in a bad decision or a bad place because you just went along with the crowd? Back to Paul's story, verse 12. Most of the crew wanted to go along as well. The majority is often wrong. We can follow the way everyone else lives in our culture, and guess what we're going to get? Exactly what they have. Or we can follow this alternative kingdom of God way of living. This way of living that is often counter to culture, that Jesus says leads to a better life now and in the one to come. Here's another common mistake that leads to pain. How do we end up in pain? We followed the circumstances. Just because a circumstance looks okay doesn't mean that it is okay. They thought it looked okay for them to sail out on the ocean. Look at verse 13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. Doesn't that sound like famous last words? I thought I could make it. Or I love the one Pastor Mike introduced us to, I think a week or two ago. You know, that is the, you know, famous last words of a southern redneck. Hold my beer and watch this. That's another classic one. I think we can all think of times where we probably said some famous last words. Things like, I thought no one would find out. Or I didn't ever think it would go this far. Or I thought it would be different this time. Here's the lesson. You and I should not go through every open door. You should not take advantage of every opportunity you have. You should not accept every single job offer. You should not date everyone who asks you out, especially if you're married. That'd be a bad, really bad plan. You need to ask, what does God want and what is wise? Just because it looks like an open opportunity doesn't mean that it is a good opportunity or a God opportunity. You see, if we don't find the reason we ended up sometimes in our own cause of pain and suffering, we'll end up there again and again and again. Now, that part was focused on pain that we kind of bring to ourselves. But what do we do when we are hurt by others or just face some of the toughest things this broken world can do? What do we do? That's what this next part is about. Number two, write this down. Here's the second thing we should do to realize that God is greater than our pain. I need to determine my response. In other words, whenever pain hits my life, I need to ask, how should I handle this? How should I handle this? I've said this before. God is way more concerned about what is happening in us than what is happening to us. God cares deeply about what is happening to us. God cares about our hurt. He wants to comfort us in our pain. But God is way more concerned about what is happening in us, the person we are becoming, the character that is being formed. Why? Because whatever is happening to us will not last forever, even if it were to last for all of this life. But what is happening in us, the forming, the shaping, the character development that is happening, that lasts far beyond this life because it changes us and we will live forever. You see, we have a choice when pain and suffering and difficulty enter our life. What are we going to do? How do we respond? We can either respond rightly or wrongly. Let me start by giving us, here's a wrong way to respond. When somebody hurts you, when grief, when pain happens, there's right ways and wrong ways. Let's start with the wrong and then we'll get to the right. Here's a wrong action. The wrong way is to give in and give up. The wrong action is to simply give in and give up to that pain. Back to Paul's story. Remember, so they ignored his warning. They left the harbor because they thought, we can make it. But they had a little reservation because when you read the story on your own this week, you'll see that they didn't want to get too far out into the open sea. They tried to stay relatively close to shore in case an unexpected storm came up. And exactly what they thought they had planned for came up and there was nothing they could do. Literally a typhoon came and it blew them out to the deep seas. Look at verses 15 and 20. It says, the sailors could not turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. When you read the story this week in chapter 27, it actually tells us that this typhoon, this storm in the Mediterranean Sea lasted for 14 days. Can you imagine being on a ship? And a ship that was built 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine being on a ship in an ocean in the Mediterranean Sea where the storm was so bad for 14 days you couldn't tell is this day or is this night? And you better believe it, they did everything they could to try to live. When their pain, when that storm hit, they threw everything overboard. They were trying to lighten the ship. They were fighting and doing everything they could until, what were the last words of that verse? It said, until, you might want to underline those, all hope was gone. Isn't that the last thing to go? Hope. Have you ever been to that point? In total despair, ready to give up, ready to throw in the towel. That is an incredibly tough spot to be in. But it is one you can recover from. When the storms of life come your way, don't give in, don't give up. Don't stop fighting through them. When the darkest hours of divorce are upon you, when the deepest places of grief are there, when you feel like you're in a prison of hurt or fear or regret, don't just say, well, this is my lot in life now. Don't let trouble triumph in your light forever. Pain and hurt do not have to have the last word in your life. Why? Because there is a God who is greater than. That's Nikki's story. Watch this.
I remember being about 8 or 9 years old. We had a really close family and did lots of things with, you know, extended family. But didn't know that the people closest to me would cause me so much pain. One cousin in particular would take advantage of a couple of us, and I was one of them. So at age 8 is when I remember first being abused sexually. I was molested by one of my cousins. It continued for a few years. Also, there was, you know, verbal and physical abuse in my family. So yeah, I just kept it all inside. I never told anyone. Which, you know, made it worse. Because not only, you know, do you feel dirty and shameful, but to be afraid that someone else would think that about you as well. It's just really, really hard to deal with. At about 19 or 20, I found myself with, you know, someone that I knew that was a friend. And so I was raped. then I got pregnant as a result of the rape and didn't know how to tell my parents and just distraught because, you know, of the way it happened. So I decided to get an abortion. Dealing with, you know, verbal abuse and physical abuse and even sexual abuse, it's like, well, you know, what good am I? And, you know, what is there good about me? What value do I bring to the world? All of the emotions of, you know, not feeling worthy, you know, the shame and the guilt, and I just, you know, wanted it to all end. So I did try to commit suicide. I'd hit my head and run into this wall time after again. It's just like, okay, you know, how do I get out of this mess? A neighbor invited me to church and we said, okay, want to go. I joined and became active and involved in different activities, the women's group, Bible study, missions trip, just got really plugged in. We were connecting with other good people that had real life problems too, that, you know, I wasn't the only one suffering from, you know, past regrets and hurts. But beyond the community, I started spending time in the Word and reading on my own and really letting the words of God seep into my heart to know that God has a hope and a plan for me. Hearing that I was the head and not the tail, you know, just hearing the promises of God in church and also discussing them in our Bible studies, just really started opening my eyes. And I felt like I was just getting revelation after revelation about who I was in Christ, about who God was, and how, you know, bad things happen, but that He always turns it around. I just felt more at peace. I just felt more comfortable in my own skin. Like I didn't have to run and hide anymore. So that's really when I felt the biggest growth in my spiritual walk. The burden started getting lifted slowly, little by little, that guilt started disappearing. As I was going through all of the abuse and pain and just turmoil, I didn't feel worthy of anything. I didn't feel valuable. I didn't feel pretty or smart. But after, you know, years of walking with Christ and reading His Word and just really letting it sink in that Jesus loves us individually, personally, and knowing how He sees me, you know, and knowing that I am pretty and that I am valuable, that I am smart and that I am lovable. That's just something that, you know, even the painful memories can't take away. Like, no one can take that away from you.
Nikki's life today is full of love, hope, rich relationships, emotional and spiritual healing, and she's an inspiration to many. But how did that happen? How did she get from here to there? It's because she came in contact with a God who was greater than. And she took Him up on this invitation to start walking this different way, this different path known as the kingdom of God. And on that journey, there were some right actions that Nikki talked about that God used to bring about healing. And so write this down. What are some right actions when pain and suffering hit our lives? Here's one that Nikki shared. We need to learn to trust God's promises. Trust God's promises. That what He says about us is true. Not what happened to us. Not what life brought our way. Not what someone did to us. But what He says about us and the future that He has for us. Just let's jump back to Paul's story for a second. Just when it seemed like all hope was lost, right? 14 days. They had lost all hope. Everybody was ready to give up and give in. God shows up. Look at these verses in 21 through 26. Finally, so when you read it, you'll see it's after 14 days. Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete." Just pause right there. This is how I know Paul is a man of God. He waited 14 days before he said, "I told you so." That's why. If it would have been me, 20 minutes into the storm, I'd have been like, "Huh? What? Yeah, that's right. Should have listened." He waited 14 days. Look, he said, "You would have avoided all the damage and loss," to which they said, "No kidding." But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, listen to this, here's the promise. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, "Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you." And then Paul looks back at them and he says, "So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island." Again, I love the Bible. It's just so real and honest, right? In other words, he says, we're going to be okay, but the ship's going to go down. We're going to make it, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. Notice that God never promised that the ship would make it, but he promised through Paul that they would. Some of you are going through an incredibly tough storm and season in your life right now. And here's the reality of life in this broken world. Your ship might not make it. That relationship might not come back together because it takes two. That loved one is gone. And the storm that you're facing or have faced is shaking your life to a core. But God promises you, you will make it. Do you know there are more than 7,000 promises in Scripture that we can hold on to when we're facing pain and hurt and suffering and difficulty in this broken world? That's why you need to read the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, at all of our churches, we'll give you one. Stop by the information area afterwards and get a Bible, and we have some helps in there to even tell you, where do you start reading and how do you understand it? But let me just share a few great promises to hold on to during the storms of life. These are not in your notes, but they'll be on the screen. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." Psalm 147:3, "He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds." 2 Corinthians 1:5, "As we have suffered much for Christ and have shared in his pain, we also share his great comfort." Philippians 4:7, "His peace," whose peace? The peace of God, "will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." As Nikki began to learn and to trust these promises and let those words fill her heart and her mind and her spirit, it began to change how she saw herself and how she saw life. We need to learn to trust God's promises. And then a second component to healing. What's a right action when pain and suffering hit our life? It's another one that Nikki shared and something that she learned. Write this down. We stay engaged in life, God, and community. Stay engaged in life, God, and community. Don't give up and give in. The tendency when pain and hurt enter our life, it is to withdraw from life, to withdraw from church, from our faith, and to isolate ourselves from others. But it is staying engaged in life. It is wrestling with God in the pain and suffering that is in this world that deepens our faith. And we all need community. We all need people who will encourage us and love us and sometimes be the ones to pull us to our healing. Let's go back to Paul's story one last time. So God gives them a promise through Paul. You're going to make it. But the storm didn't stop. The storm kept going. And it was a whole nother day when you read the story, they realize they're close to land. They can hear the violent waves breaking against what must be rocks or a sheer cliff. And so in fear for their lives, when you read it, they throw anchors down in hopes that there might be daylight the next day, that they can see where the shore is, and then, you know, make a swim for it or hop in some lifeboats and go for it. But in the middle of the night, fear gripped the sailors. And look at this last part, verse 30 and 32. "Then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out the anchors in front of the ship." In other words, the sailors said, "Forget you guys, we're sneaking out." That's what was happening. "But Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, 'You will all die unless the sailors stay aboard.'" In other words, he's like, "You're going to die if you let them leave." So look what happened next. "So the soldiers cut the ropes of the lifeboat and let it drift away." In other words, they said, "All right, we're all in this together." They started trusting Paul. They started trusting God's promises through him. Everybody's got to stay in the ship. and they cut the lifeboats away so that nobody could get out. Let me ask you a question. Have you done that in the key areas of your life? Have you cut the lifeboats loose so there's no way out? Have you cut the escape ropes in your marriage? Have you said divorce is not an option for us? We're going to get through this pain. We're going to get through this hurt and get to the shore of healing. How about in your faith? Have you cut the ropes and said, I am going to walk with Jesus through the good and through the bad? So what happened? Did they make it to the shore? Who wants to know? All churches by a show of hands. Do you want to know the end of the story? Okay. Most of the time, if you're around here, I tell you, you have to read it on your own, right? Read it on your own. It's really good. But I'm going to tell you, they did make it, okay? But the ship broke, and they literally made it by hanging on to pieces of the boat. But what happens next? When you read it, please turn the page and read chapter 28. Because what happens on this island? They land on this island called Malta. It's pretty amazing. And they land there, and what happens next shows us that God brings good out of bad. That he takes our pain and the shipwrecks of our life, and he uses them to bring healing. And in this story, he brought actual healing. You see, the chief Roman official on Malta had become incredibly deathly ill. When all of a sudden, a bunch of, you know, prisoners and sailors and Roman officials end up, you know, on their little island. And somehow Paul manages to hear that the chief official is sick. And he goes, I think I can do something about that. And he goes and he tells him about this, about Jesus and about God. And this guy is healed from his sickness. And then Paul goes around, read the story. He heals like everybody on the island. The entire island was sick. Now they're all well. And Paul tells them that everybody can be reconnected back to God through his son Jesus. God brought good out of bad. And he can do the same in our lives. What he wants to do is bring peace and healing to our hurts and to our pain. Horatio Spafford experienced pain at the hands of a very real shipwreck in 1873. He was a successful lawyer, real estate owner in Chicago, and a committed Jesus follower. And in the fall of 1873, him and some family friends decided to go on a vacation to Europe. When at the last second, he had a business deal that he had to stay back for and said, hey, you go ahead, I'll meet you there. And so he sends his wife and his four daughters on ahead with their friends on a ship. And out in the middle of the Atlantic in a storm, they were actually hit by another ship. He hears about this. He gets news that the ship his family was on was in a wreck and the ship sank. And he doesn't know who survived, if anyone survived. When a couple days later, after hearing the news, he gets a telegram from his wife in England. And all the telegram said was, I'm alive, but alone. That shipwreck took the lives of all four of his daughters. You can imagine the pain and the grief. And he, not long after, gets on a ship to go get his wife who is in Europe. And about the same place where the disaster happened that took his daughters, in the midst of his pain and his grief, but in light of a God that he believed was greater than his pain, he pinned the words to what is one of the most famous hymns in recent church history. He wrote a song called It Is Well With My Soul. And we want to share that song with you. And I want you to sit and I want you to listen to these words, because I know that there are many of you that you are right in the middle of a storm right now, that you've experienced some tragedy and loss, and it is recent and it is sudden, and that pain is still so real. And I think there's a lot of us others that maybe the pain happened decades ago or years ago, like Nikki, but it was never talked about, it was never told, and that hurt has still tried to hold you down. Would you let a God who is greater than your pain into your pain today? And our prayer for all of us is that this would be a moment where your healing would begin. Healing is a process, but take that step towards healing today. Let me pray for us, and then I want you to experience this song. God, I thank you that, as Scripture says, you are healer. And would your Spirit do what only it can? Would you touch us at the deepest places of our life? would we know that there is hope? Would we experience your peace? Would we sense your love? Would we know that we're not alone, that you've given us a great community called the church to help us move forward in life and in faith? And God, would we look forward to the day when you return, knowing that one day you will make every wrong right, that you will wipe away every tear, and there will be no more pain and suffering. God, would your Holy Spirit do your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou well.